Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
K100 with Conan and Disco has a new sponsor this week, Freedom Grooming. Freedom Grooming specializes in shavers for the follically challenged among us, including myself. With the Flex Series, you can get the smoothest shave of your life. Flexible blades contour to the shape of your head for a baby smooth shave every time. And it shaves 50% more hair in a single stroke compared to traditional razors. Expect shave times of only 2 to 3 minutes. And never cut your head shaving again. The Flex Series safeguard technology means no nicks, no ingrown hairs, and no problems. And the Flex Series waterproof design means you can shave in the shower with or without shaving cream, or shave wet or dry. And if you want to check out the Close Shave Plan, you know, since even the sharpest blades dull with use, Freedom created the Close Shave Plan. With the Close Shave Plan, you'll never run out of fresh, sharp blades delivered to your door every 6 weeks with free shipping. And all active Close Shave Plan members are upgraded to a lifetime warranty. And it's completely customizable. Adjust, skip, or cancel your plan at any time. And the products are so excellent, Freedom Grooming has over 10,000 five-star reviews. Check out this review from Kevin L. This shaver is by far the best purchase I made in a long time. I use it daily to maintain a smooth, soft head. It glides effortlessly over my head to cut every hair to the skin every time. And the best part is it never causes bumps or nicks, and it cuts perfectly around my ears every time. A perfect gift for anyone that enjoys a baby smooth head. And to thank the loyal listeners of K100, we've partnered with Freedom to give you an exclusive 20% off when you go to freedomgrooming.com/Conan. That's freedomgrooming.com/Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. freedomgrooming.com/Conan.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 Homicide.
Bang,
the
bang, the bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be jumping.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
bitches act like you know, and homie stop fucking.
Welcome to Swampin', I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787, and those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feet up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
We got a question for you. We got a just quick question for you. Conan, ask
am I on your show? Am I being ambushed?
100%. Yes.
100 ambush.
Not an ambush. This is just
not an ambush. A friendly discussion.
Just a question.
All right, go ahead, fellas. Yeah, I'm listening.
Just a question. Conan, ask
I want
your question.
You guys to know. I just want you to know we're live on Twitch because I'm doing my Twitch stream, okay?
Oh, so we're helping you out. So, yeah, so we're helping your
Twitch
out.
This is great. This is a great interaction here.
Enter like with Skype meets Twitch and stuff.
Right.
Everything, you know,
and two shows blend. Do you like that?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Conan, we were just talking about you tonight because my son Will is here, and they were asking Will if he'd like to get high with you, bro.
It was a beautiful experience. Say hi to Will, and whenever he wants to get high again, well, he's in the perfect state because you're in Colorado, right?
Yeah, no, you know, bro, Will's a father now, bro. He's here with his new baby.
Tom, congratulations, and also to the granddad yourself.
Yeah, thank you very much, Conan.
You know what you should do? All three of you should smoke. The kid's too young, so you could put a little cannabis oil in his mouth.
Stop it. Come on, Jesus. Okay. All right, ask the question, Conan.
Okay, Vince, so I have a question. Can you hear me? All right.
Yep.
I had seen that you put this on Twitter, and I asked Glenn to ask you, but he keeps forgetting. I had seen that you had put on Twitter that you had sent a letter to Vince McMahon, and he answered you. But I asked him, so what did Russo ask him, and what did Vince say? And he goes, I don't know. What went down with that?
Bro, I got to tell you that I have no problem telling you, but I got to tell you privately because it was like a Patreon exclusive, bro. The only people that know, what happened are Patreons.
Oh, so you want our listeners to go to your Patreon to hear it, but you will tell
me. Yeah, so I will tell you.
Vince, how long has that been up? How long has that been up?
Oh, boy. I don't know. About 3 weeks, maybe.
Come on. Are you kidding? Just give it out. This enough. You know, what are you going to keep that thing on there for like 6 months to try to get people to do your thing?
Bro, that was all part of them signing up to Patreon. I read the email on Patreon that I sent to Vince. And
all
I told him what I
told him.
Bro, you show up on YouTube afterwards and stuff sometimes down the road. Okay, just give us a hint.
You know what? This show's not live. This is pre-recorded.
So tell us,
and we'll edit it off the show.
Yeah, we're not going to put it on.
No, I mean, listen, I won't read it word for word. I mean, I read the email from them word for word. And basically, I said, listen, bro, I said, you know, this isn't about a job. This isn't about money. I said, this is about, you know, somebody, you know, from the outside that can tell you what is wrong with this show.
And just so you know, Vince, somebody actually wrote us a letter today. This is a shoot. You can ask DI. They actually wrote us a letter today where they asked us, what would you have already given Vince Russo a shot over at WWE? Remember, DI?
Yeah.
And we both agreed. But just so you know, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, bro. I said if you want to hear a set of fresh eyes, somebody that's not close to the product, somebody with no agenda that wants to tell you what the problem with the show is, I said I'm open to doing that. And I said to him, I said, bro, you were in the same spot 20 years ago, and 20 years ago I told you what the problem was. I said, you are back at that exact spot. And I said, bro, I don't want money. It has nothing to do with wanting a job. I said, I just want to help you on a personal level. I can tell you what's wrong with the show. And his response to me, bro, was how we respond many, many times, THX.
Thanks.
Yep, that's it.
Wow, that's incredibly short. Very short. I mean, I can't believe that.
No. Well, you know, bro, Jericho even, you know, like he was talking about a conversation he had with Vince through email, and Jericho mentioned that he answered Chris Jericho like the same exact way. Bro, yeah. Vince has been answering that way like for years. But, you know, Conan, I got to be honest with you. It's hard for me to understand because it's like, bro, I don't want a job. I would never get back in that full time. I would never move to Connecticut. Would I watch the show and critique
it? Be a consultant?
I said, yeah. Yeah, I said, yeah, I would definitely do that. If I didn't have to leave my house, I would do that. But, I mean, bro, why this guy wants to hear from everybody else but me, I don't understand.
But here's the problem with wanting to be like, you're telling him to be a consultant, and he's like saying, like, you know, you're doing a 2-hour review of his shows every week that people can listen to. So why would he, like, you know, why don't you just have Finkel listen to your show?
Well, I'm sure they do, bro. I'm sure they do already. But like on the show, we don't really say what we would do. Like, you know, we critique it, and once in a while, we'll throw in our own creative. But I'm talking about, bro, looking at everything and creating it and saying, okay, Vince, it's not working because of this, and maybe if you try this. I mean, I'm talking about that kind of a thing, bro.
All right. Let me ask you your opinion on something. Let me ask you your opinion on something. Vince.
Yeah.
So somebody had written to me that's a very good source, right? Let me see if I can find this. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I did you watch the Raw review last week?
What
Raw? The Raw reunion.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching the show right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but last week's, the Raw reunion, right?
Which I
thought was okay. And so I had written to this friend of mine, and I had told them there's absolutely no way Paulie wrote that show, which he probably didn't because it's a show that USA wanted, right? But this is what he wrote me, and tell me if you think this is true. It said, Paul and Eric aren't actually doing anything. Neither is Bruce. They're replacing the writers and being used as propaganda for old-time viewers. Vince is still writing it, won't give it up until he dies. That's what the show looked like to me, but what do you think?
Well, that's what this show tonight looked like.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, bro, we're an hour and 15 minutes in. This is what has been on the show. The show is almost half over. This is what's been on the show. There was a 24/7 match. Right. There was a 5-man gauntlet match. And now, bro, there's a 3-way tag match. That's all that's been on the show in an hour and 15
minutes. Let me ask a question. The 5-man gauntlet match had a lot of good people in it. Was that match any good?
I mean, bro, it was a good match, but again, bro, this didn't do anything for anybody. Yeah, this is not what's going to bring back the casual fans, man.
Right.
You know, it's straightforward wrestling, man. And the other angle, they had one angle, bro, and Mike Bennett won the 24/7, and then Maria made Bennett lay down for her, and she put a foot on her. The referee counted to 3. She claimed the 24/7 title, and now she's parading around with it saying, what are you going to do? I'm a pregnant champion. What are you going to do? I'm pregnant.
That's absolutely brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. Let's talk a little. Now that we have you on here for a minute, okay?
Let's get back to the brilliant comment. Do you really think, I'm talking from my perspective now. You call that brilliant. That would make me see what happens.
That's as brilliant as when Jim Herd wanted to use the Hunchback character because he couldn't get pinned. Because
okay,
his back,
all right, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Okay, that's brilliant. Yeah. Okay.
Or the guys, the guys that had the bells, the ding-a-ling.
Bro,
the ding-dongs.
Seriously. Yeah. You want to be like, it's still in front of the word entertainment, and like you're going to have a sports entertainment show where a pregnant female it's a champion. I mean, come on,
right?
You know, okay, but how about this? So here's the thing. I mean, Conan asked me about this. Maybe you can explain it.
Conan, you want to hear something that will blow your mind, Conan? This will blow your mind. You ready for this, Conan?
Yeah.
Conan, I have a very good relationship with somebody who, please don't, I'll never say who it is. Don't pressure me, but I'm going to tell you something that will blow you away. Okay.
Yeah.
The guy should definitely be a top guy. Like, if I were writing the show, this guy would be over huge. Okay. Right. Bro, would you believe, you know, he's a very creative guy. He's always trying to pitch ideas. Very creative, very creative. Bro, he wanted to have a meeting with Vince to lay out a storyline. Okay. Bro,
right.
This is somebody. This is a money guy. Conan, you would agree. This guy's money. This guy should be a top guy. Conan, would you believe he had to make an appointment with Vince and it took him 3 weeks to have a discussion with Vince, bro? Three weeks.
It's ridiculous.
Can you imagine? Conan,
well, no wonder,
this is
well,
a top
no
guy.
Wonder,
it's a no, top no wonder, guy.
No wonder they hired Bischoff and did all these guys so they could talk to the talent.
Like
Eric and Paul either, right?
The guy had to make an appointment with Vince 3 weeks in advance, bro.
Okay, tell Conan your theory on the way to turn wrestling around that we had this discussion I disagreed with. As you're wanting to make the behind the scenes, the show, where basically the stars of the show are Paulie, Bischoff, and Bruce Prichard. Explain that.
Well, you know, Conan, here's what's going on there. And you know this, Conan. Here's exactly what was going on. I broke it down, Conan. Let's look at how many camps there are right now at the WWE. There's Camp Heyman. There's Camp Prichard. There's Camp Bischoff. There's Camp Vince. There's Camp Shane. There's Camp Triple H and Stephanie. That's six camps right there. Then you got on the outskirts, you got Double J, whatever Double J is doing. You got Michael Hayes, whatever Michael Hayes is doing. You got all these camps, okay? Now, Conan, the next level is you've got all the boys, and they've got to decide, okay, bro, who are we hitching our wagons to? Who is going to win this political game? Who is going to come out in favor with Vince McMahon? So now the freaking talent have to start figuring out, do we go with Paul? Do we go with Eric? Who do we freaking side with? Because if that person wins, they're going to be in great shape. If that person loses, they're going to be shit out of luck. You've got all this maneuvering, this posturing, this positioning going on in that freaking company. Bro, that's the freaking show. That is the show, bro. What is really going on? The politicking. Vince McMahon becoming half senile. What do Stephanie and Triple H think about, you know, Heyman and Prichard and Bischoff being hired? That's the freaking show, bro. They would draw 10 million people a week if they got freaking real instead of these phony Circus Soleil 30-minute matches,
Vince,
that nobody gives a shit about.
Oh, my God. Bro, what are you talking about? It's not, but it's still not going to be real. It's still being booked. If it was real, it would be real. Like, the people think, okay, but everybody knows it's a work. You're writing a story to try to make it look real, so it's not real. It's still
a
work.
Do you watch the Housewives of any city, bro?
Bro, those don't do 10 million people a week. They don't do 10 million people a week. 10 million people a week
don't
watch those shows. You're talking about 10 million people we're going to watch? Come on. Get out of here.
I think, Vince, that's not a bad idea, and I'll tell you why. Because I've always said two things. Always. The best stories that I've ever written, that I've ever seen, usually are when you don't know where reality ends and the fantasy begins, when you blur the two things. And
right.
That's, and I've always said that the most, to me, always, and I even say this in AAA to this day, I always say if people could really see what goes on in the dress rooms, what goes on behind the scenes, that's way more interesting than the shit that we write.
Yes.
So if you were able to get that shit and make it more dramatic or whatever, tweak it, because that is true. There is camps, there are factions, there is politics. You know, some people do hitch their ride, and if all of a sudden you're with the NWO and you were with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and they were hot and you were with them, and then all of a sudden they lost favor, you lost favor. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then so I do think there is something
Conan,
to that.
Conan, what Glenn doesn't understand is, Conan, we were doing this in the early days of TNA. I told Jeff, Jeff, this is the evolution of wrestling. Bro, let me go out there. Don't tell them when I'm coming. Don't smarting them up. Force them to have to react to me and what I say. No script, bro. We were doing that. It was hot. It was cutting edge. It was 100% improvised, bro. That's
mean like
where
when you were doing sex?
Should have went. Yes, bro. Yeah. And nobody was smartened up when I was hitting the ring. And freaking me and Tanae almost got in a fight. Bro, the Harris boys, one of them choked me out as a shoot because I wouldn't leave the ring. He freaking choked me out, bro. I was out. None of that shit was rehearsed. The Piper thing was not rehearsed. That's what I'm freaking talking about, bro. But the problem is, Conan.
Here's the problem.
The problem is, Glenn, in the bubble, they don't know how to do that. They only know one way, bro.
They are in the bubble 1,000%. 1,000%.
I mean, it's hard.
Yeah,
I mean, Conan, this three man is still this match has been going on 20 minutes between Anderson and Gallows, the Revival and the Usos. Nobody gives a shit. No one.
You know what?
This
you know
going
what,
off for 20
bro,
minutes.
But you know what's happening, which is kind of weird. The WWE is finally kind of buckling under pressure to the fans. And
right.
This is what the fans say they want to see. So this is what they're giving him. Because if you looked at the last paper, there were a lot of good matchups that you don't normally see. And that's them, you know, the fans telling him, oh, we want to see this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what's happening right now. They're buckling.
Hey, Conan, somebody on Twitch just made the comment. Dude Bud made the comment. My dog is running around in circles every time Glenn opens his mouth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything to say to that?
That's on your Twitch. I don't want to promote Vince's Twitch anymore. Then, can we get rid of Vince? Let's get rid of him.
Twitch, can you Twitch
Time out. First, no. Let's go do this. Conan, fast forward to on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Fast forward.
Yeah.
To Vince on the disco list. Let's do that part.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because we're in the middle of the disco list right now.
We're in
Conan.
The middle of the disco list. Vince
okay.
Russo, Vince's singing, Vince's Twitter followers, and his paintings.
Yes. All
Conan,
of
did you hear?
Let's discuss
Conan,
the painting.
Conan, did you hear that my disco painting brought in over $700, bro?
Yes. I like the fact that you did give him
now,
any
Conan,
money.
Now, Conan, let me ask you a question. I looked at a picture of disco on the worldwide interweb. I painted a picture I was looking at. How in God's name do I owe him money for that?
Because, first of all, you made the painting to humiliate me and make me look very disparaging. Okay? And you're not going to – the reason it sold for $700 is because you did that, and your Twitter followers are a bunch of morons. Okay? So the reason it sold like that is because you made fun of me, and you're not trying to – you're not kicking back any money, which any of my friends would have done for me if I would have done the same thing. But
now,
but
when
yeah,
I
you're
heard
just
what
close.
You were getting – you just paid
– just
I actually
loss.
Thought maybe we should get in the paintings business.
Oh, I'll paint Vince, and it'll be the worst painting ever. And it'll sell for $5,000.
Conan, you know what the problem is with the WWE? You want me to sum it up for you, Conan?
Yeah.
And you'll understand this. The fear of the unknown.
Right.
You know, bro, risk. Great risk equals great reward. They are afraid of the unknown. So, bro, what do? They keep going back to what they know. And in the process, bro, the entire freaking world has passed them by.
And what's happened, too, bro, is that they've become like McDonald's and Starbucks. Because you could go to fucking You can find a McDonald's anywhere. It doesn't mean they're the best. But if you go to, like, I don't know if they have these in Colorado. They have, like, Five Guys and shit like that.
Yeah.
So you go to Five Guys, that's a way better burger. You go to Smash Burger, that's a way better burger. You know what I'm saying? But they're like Starbucks and McDonald's. They're just the biggest. They're not the best.
Right. That's it. Yeah. And you got to take chances, bro. That's why the Attitude Era was over. That's why NWO was over. It was all about taking chances, bro.
Right. 1,000%. Well, yo, yeah, man, Vince, I want to thank you for accepting our phone call.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Conan, this was a pleasure. Thank you. But you know, bro, I love you. I love coming on the show. Thank you very, very much for calling me, bro. Anytime,
by the way, Conan.
Oh, yeah. I thought he left.
Vince is now full bore, like Russian Vince conspiracy theory guy.
Oh, okay,
full bore conspiracy.
Yeah.
So he did two podcasts trying to claim that Paul McCartney is dead. Two podcasts.
Yeah. And a doppelganger replaced him.
Do you actually believe Vince?
We'll talk about that sometime. It's way over Glenn's head, bro. It's over Glenn's head.
Jeez,
All right, man.
All right, Vince. Be cool.
All right, take care, man. God bless, bro.
All right, you too. Vince, take care. Peace.
All right, man. Bye.
How about
the fact that's what he's using for his to try to get people to sell pictures? The response from Vince McMahon.
That is tremendous. Here's the worst part. When the people on Patreon hear his response, it's going to be almost like when I heard Hughesley's response to the best question ever asked. Let the dogs out and thanks? Okay? Right. That's it.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
We have a problem.
What is it?
Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men.
Of course they are.
Very interesting. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You can go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not even necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. So you know what it's time for? It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySups.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs when you sleep, which is why the ultimate test stack is the best natural test boost system available today. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist controls estrogen, and Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the ultimate test stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews from satisfied users just like you. And because Legacy are friends of this show, you can save 10% off your entire order at LegacySups.com now by using code K100. That's LegacySups.com. And the code is K100. It's time to level up with Legacy.
You know, Disco, you brought up the ultimate test stack, of course. I just wanted to say that I'm on the shredded stack, which is the Test X9, the X-Lean 5 Fat Burner, and then Recovery PM to help you get better sleep. And as I've said on the show before, since I started with Legacy Subs and everything, I dropped 25, 30 pounds. I'm feeling a lot better. I have a lot more energy. And I've had people DM me privately too to ask for my recommendations. And that's what I tell them. It's well worth it.
Here's the other thing. It's something that's working because people are coming back to use it and use it. We all use it. Like we've said before, there's nothing on our show that we're selling that we don't use ourselves. So this is really good, depending on what you're trying to do, whether it's, for energy, for losing weight. Like in Joe's case, I bust his balls. You know, he looks better than ever. And this stuff works. You know, the proof in the pudding is people keep coming back and purchasing it.
And remember, just before we wrap up, that the K100 code for 10% off isn't just a one-time deal. You can use it as many times as you want. If you hit a subscription and use the code K100, you get 10% off every month or every 2 months, whatever your subscription is. So the code, it will never end.
So if you want to look fit and trim like Joe, or you want to have the amazing cognizant abilities of our boy here, the superior one, check out Legacy Subs.
And let's not forget that our listeners are using this product and improving their health. And as Nick said, we're like one of the number one markets for his products.
Mm-hmm.
So we're keeping him in business. And it's all to you guys. And it's a credit to you guys. And the more fit and healthy that our listeners become, the longer we can do this podcast and the longer you can be patrons.
Everybody wins.
But nevertheless, Nick is still on probation and he's still on the DISCO list. None of that gets him off of that.
Good decision.
I think more important than anything.
That's a fair decision.
All right. So get your legacy subs at legacysubs.com. Boom. Did you guys see the Raw reunion last night?
I did.
Yeah. I actually spent the time and watched the whole thing.
Okay. So, you just want to go overall, or do you want to go by segment?
No, there's nothing to go overall. Because, like, for overall, the show's specific purpose was just to do a reunion.
Right.
Okay? And so, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, I was disappointed. Here's the thing. Everybody in the WWE now, with the new creative changes, okay, the key word is changes. So people are looking for things to change, right? Because there's obviously things that people are upset with the way the show's being, Well, for whatever gripes they have about the show, okay, but most of the gripes are about the booking, blah, blah, blah. When you have all these people back, you're doing it specifically to try and pop a rating, okay? So the key is you want to pop a rating so you have a bunch of eyeballs on the product that you can get people to, like, forward, you know, like a storyline so they'll watch next week. And it's like I'm watching the show, and it's like, at what point did they, you know, with Mick Foley and
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, they did, but that's not really a spot where you look at what's forwarding next week. He did the exact same spot last week. He just did this week to Mick Foley.
Yeah, and Mick can't wrestle.
Nothing happened on the show to make me to use these guys as a tool to get people over. They had all these guys in the show, and they had Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman out there just doing a squash match against a nobody.
Yeah, and it's kind of.
And I'm like, okay, so here's my take is that. You got to, like, since there's changes, I'm looking for change. I'm looking for things to change. And you have to get my attention, right? But tell me if you guys don't feel the same way I do, is that when I'm watching the show, your show is still treating me like I'm a kid. Like, the conversations of the show are very childish. The tone of the show is still very childish and, like, kind of geared towards kids. Until you start making it toward, like, I'm an adult. And, like, until I want to, like, you know, want to get engaged in something, like, if you're not going to give me things to get engaged in as an adult, I'm not buying you yet. That's the way I feel when I'm watching the show. What about you guys?
Well, they did have R-Truth steal Drake Maverick's wife, so I can that could get a little adult.
But it's kind of weird what they do. It's like they're not. It's like that's like out of the box. Yeah,
that was comedy, and it was stupid at that. That's like nothing that you're like, oh wow, he took his wife.
Well, it's
like there's actually a thing in the I'll give you an example. Impact actually taped something, probably hasn't even come out yet, but a certain character said something about a certain character on the show who's married and everybody knows who his wife is. And he goes, I'm going to get him back by banging his wife. And the other character goes, what? You know, they're
right.
Not.
Yeah, right.
And something's going to happen there. Right.
Right.
But that's good.
A guy that's been comedy. A lot of it was bad comedy at that. And there's nothing worse than bad comedy. I know it's all silly fun 24/7, but some of it was just so stupid. No effort was even made. You know, like it used to, you know, Pat Patterson. Now, I was reading this thing where they were saying that they were having a lot of problems because a lot of wrestlers were physically unable to do shit and they couldn't get cleared medically.
Right.
Right. So, which is probably for best because they all looked really old.
For example, when you see Pat Patterson laying on the ground and Briscoe takes the belt, but you didn't see them do anything physical, that's probably one example. And some people were saying
some other things with the women, it was just kind of stupid, just the way they did. It was just really stupid, but it was all – that's a hokey thing. Anyways, to me, it's me personally, maybe it's already past its expiration date. I've seen a little bit too much of it. It's still funny at some times, but yesterday was too much of it and I didn't like it. But going back to your point, Disco, you know, like, bro, that promo that Seth did buried him so bad. There's
horrible.
No time you can find. Maybe when I was in the Dungeon of Doom, because I just broke into WCW and I didn't want to shake the waters. But other than that, you're never going to find no time in my career where I uttered stupidity like that, where it just buries you. You know,
right.
You know, Brock, blah, 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 and then, you know, running and Polly running away. There's no way Polly wrote this show. Zero way. And so anyways, But, you know, they've done everything like they were saying. I was reading this thing now that I came back off the road. I've been reading up, and then I read this thing, which I think Joe sent us, where they were saying this thing about, you know, Vince. I was saying that one of the reasons the show isn't doing good is because there was this superstar absence. And then the article was actually saying that the only guy that had really been absent for a long period of time was Bray Wyatt. And, you know, they brought in Heyman and Bishop. They did that wild card emergency thing. You know, they brought Brock back. They brought Taker back. You know, and it just seems, and we're supposed to be seeing these changes. I see no changes whatsoever. And somebody actually wrote this to me. This is a very good source. And this, because I said, there's no way Pauly wrote that show, which he probably didn't. But he put, he goes, Paul and Eric aren't actually doing anything. Neither is Bruce. They're replacing the writers and being used as propaganda for old-time viewers. Vince is still writing it. Mm. Won't give it up until he dies. That's kind of what it looked like to me. Absolutely. And I also think, like, I was reading this thing where Eric Bischoff was saying, no, I don't. I'm not coming back and taking total control. It's a process. Nobody can just come back. Same thing happened to me when I came back to AAA. They did not give me total control. It was by stages. Plus, they also thought that I was going to leave again. And I'm wondering, right. Well, then why'd you hire me if you thought I was going to leave? And so they wouldn't give me control. And I have maybe like 80% control, which is a lot. And still there's shit that I have to still get authority to do. Or sometimes they're like, you're going to do this, and this is the way it's going to be, and you got to do it, you know? So I don't know how much Eric and Pauly, how much power they're going to have, and I would think that Pauly, knowing that his name is behind this and his reputation is behind, is going to fight, you know, Vince for some autonomy, but it just seems like it's the same bullshit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here's another thing that pisses me off. One more thing that I want to say. Bro, here's the other thing. You always see the same fucking legends returning. It's always DX and NWO. How many times are they going to return? Yeah. It's not even a surprise anymore. It's not even cool when they come out anymore. It's more like, really, again?
Yeah.
It's Ron Simmons. It's always the same people.
Slaughter.
Yeah, shows like that, the throwaways to me. They're like doing entertainment. Like, I'm still like going forward with this product. I'm still giving it a chance because like the last couple weeks – the show seemed a little bit different to me. This show was kind of like a different type of show because they had all the people coming back. So I'm not going to judge it.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
They
had 3 hours to get you interested in some feuds, and they really didn't.
I thought it would be different if they did that this time.
Want me to tell you a little pet peeve of me that got heat with me?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, did you see what? And I don't know. Maybe he's worn this before. Did you see what Ted DiBiase was wearing?
Yeah.
He was wearing a black jacket, and it looked like some kid from second grade arts and craft pasted on with old Elmer's glue a dollar symbol right here on each lapel.
Yeah.
What happened to his sweet gold jacket that he used to wear? I mean, he didn't even – you know what I'm saying? It was that
– plus
that
some
pissed
of the-
me off. That was – that pissed
the
me
funny
off.
Thing, that, it looked that bad. Aggravated you. That is funny.
It looked real bad.
Also, there was two scenes – that looks so contrived where they're supposed to be having a party in the back, right? There's zero music and the girls are dancing to, what are you dancing to? There's no music. Everybody's trying to pretend they're having a good time. It looks so stage phony and ridiculous. I will say this. I thought Sami Zayn continues to cut killer promos.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, another thing about Rollins that was a really tough spot was, and maybe it was some more backlash from the original promo you're talking about that was very, very, very bad. Almost as bad as, you remember the Roman Reigns one where he did like the Jack and the Beanstalk thing? He was going to wrestle Big Show. His promo was on that level where I think in a couple of years people are going to go, remember that? Jesus Christ. But when he
come on. I know that you're all very rich and you're all making money and everybody's happy. But, bro, look, I mean, obviously they did good numbers because I just saw the numbers because nostalgia will pop. And, you know, when you see Hogan and Nash and all these guys are coming back, you want to see it. But now what you did is you disappointed a very big audience, you know.
Yeah.
But I can't understand why Seth isn't saying, hey, man, I'm not going to say that. It's bad enough. He has kind of like a wimpy voice.
Yeah.
Then he's fucking giving JoJo shit. Yeah. You know, it's like trash.
And if you noticed
He wants to be a Brock Lesnar wannabe.
Yeah.
Who the fuck? Not even you believe that.
Yeah.
Right.
And when they gave him the mic to do the "We Got Two Words For You," you could hear the murmuring and the kind of booing starting in the crowd, like, ugh, like that people know when they're getting pandered to.
Bro, there was no real huge pops for the legends. The only guy that really got a huge pop was like Hogan and Austin.
Yeah. The other thing
that was a great speech, by the way. I like that speech.
Let's talk about this in context. You know, is like, this is the thing. Like, we had a discussion earlier in the show where we're talking about how, you know, AEW now is in a position to promote against, you know, the WWE, right? And how the WWE is treating them from a promotion standpoint. And it, like remember we talked about it, it gets you to feel like that they have no, that AEW has no chance against these guys because they're like old school, you know, smart.
Right.
And then they come out and then they have a chance. And like, and they do this show and it's like, you know, but well, boy, AEW does have a chance.
Well, not
you
just know? That. The show, not
like,
just
am
that.
I right? So it's like
not
you like
that. Here's the other thing. I'm going to give you three names. Look at the promos Jericho's been cutting over there. Look at the promos MJF has been cutting over there. And look at that great promo Cody cut on his brother.
Right. So here's the thing.
Moxley.
So I'm going to our YouTube page and QG posted a clip of when we had that discussion about the politics of the AEW versus the WWE. And Mike Feegan, that guy that talked about this guy, Mike Feegan, one of the things, he had a comment about you.
Wait, who was that?
He's like
a guy. He's one of the posters in the comment section of the YouTube page.
All right.
Mike Feegan says it's very sad and disheartening to hear that Conan, a person of color, would not fully support AEW, a company that strives and fights to promote people of color and members of the LGBT community. As
who said I didn't support them? We work with them. We work with them, you jackass. I don't have to support anything. Look.
Conan, let me respond to a guy that trolls every video.
Every post is like an SJW post from Mike Feegan.
Right. That's like every one of his posts is like that. You know, like whatever the subject matter is, it somehow has to do with like your insensitivity. But this is what. But Joe Troller did have an interesting comment here, Christ. And I want to say that. And this is like a good point going forward. Is like you said, you look at you know WWE. You listen to their top guys in the promos that they're scripted for them, and you're like, what the F are these guys talking about? You go over to AEW, and you look at the promos that Jericho's cutting, MJF is cutting, you know, Cody's cutting. So Joe Troller has a good point, though. So in the picture on the video that Hughie posted, he posts a picture of Cody and the Bucks, okay, with the big AEW center around him. Cody's just in there holding the Bucks. And Joe Troller says, just look at these three guys. So, talking about Cody and the Bucks with capital letters in the word look. And who's WWE got? Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. Who you going to watch? AEW stinks and you're all marks. Okay, that's Joe Troller, the AEW stinks. But to me, that hits the nail on the head because Vince does have all the big guys. And you would think that should be the focus of the show. We have these big guys and we're going to promote big guy violence. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the AEW is promoting, you know, the artistry of wrestling. These guys working, they're more undersized, but we got the big boys here. And but the theme of the show is what? Kids. Let's make it for the kids. Right. Like, let's change the tone of the show. Well, we got some big guys here, and we're going to have some violence. There's going to be some fighting, you know? That's where I think they should be going, but they're not, you know?
Right. So at the end of the day, who cares who you have if your show sucks and you're not using them properly? You know what I'm saying? So many people are miscast, misused. Bro, we could go down the line.
Think about this. Is that you've got Brock Lesnar as your champion, okay? You've got Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley.
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre, Bray Wyatt. Who's another big guy? You're getting all these big guys. Roman. Right. And the focus of your show is the relationship between Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. And like, you think that's if you think that's the money to drive your product as opposed to focused on those big ass motherfuckers.
What
do you think is going to draw people to watch your show? You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, like, am I wrong?
I think they're searching for answers. They're not sure. They're like, okay, Becky got over and Seth is, we push him as one of our top guys. They're together. Maybe that's something people want to see. You know, they're trying to figure it out. That's not it. 1,000%.
You get these big guys that you're diminishing and making them look like all the other undersized guys you have on the show. And you're booking like, start booking your big guys as big guys. Right. That's what stands out from the other stuff. You know, It's like, they're the only company that has big guys. Luchasaurus is the biggest guy in what you call it, or, and that Ace. Who's that big fat guy they got
Ace,
over there?
Ace Romero.
Acey Baby.
He's been in their battle royals.
But he works like a cruiserweight, though, the guy, right? Yeah, he dives. Yeah. Is that right? Right. So you don't have these, anything like a threatening-looking, badass, big guy, like, you know, like that could fight Brock. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, because like I was thinking, brother, said, and plus it's the way the guys work today, too. Remember how Booker worked? You know, Booker worked very snug, right. Like very believable, threw a good punch and everything.
Yeah,
it's like
great punch.
Booker T, like, works like a guy that looks like if he got in a fight with Brock, they may go toe-to-toe. You know, real
fight. So, and not just that. And just like when I was watching Samoa Joe and Roman, right? Like, when they did the promo, like, fuck, this is going to be good. And then the match really wasn't that good. There wasn't that physicality that two guys right. should really be mad. Or, like, right. even when the Monster came out, Bray Wyatt, right. I was like, bro, why didn't he just drag him around and leave him laying in a pool of his blood right. and just really fucking violent? Or we walk into a fucking dress. If you don't want to show violence, then let's walk into a dressing room and they're fucking, hey, you know, the paramedics are there. There's blood splattered on the wall. There's shit that's broken. People laying around. And they're like, ah, we think he broke his neck. You know what I'm saying? And really bro. Make it violent. You know, and he just did the mandible claw and it got no real pop. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And plus, too, like you watch Impact, it's like right. they know how to book heat and violence.
Right.
You know, that's good. Like, that's good. They're booking heat and violence. It's like there's no heat. There's no yeah. violence on the show. There's no, like, and you got all these big guys. You know, you used to book violence and you got away from them. Now you're booking, you know, you're booking the Bullshit. Man's man. And I'm like, come on, guys. It's like you got, you know, there's some people that are ready to, like, give you guys a chance if you give them what they want. But they're going to just go start watching AEW. Of it when it comes down to it, and you got to start saying, "Hey, we're definitely a better alternative to these guys." Because look, we got the big boys here. You know, remember, bro? What was our the thing when WCW started? Where the big boys play?
Yeah,
you know, we had all these big guys and everything. What happened? We eventually overtook them in the ratings because we did have all the big boys. You had Hogan and, you know, Nash and Giant. Like, we had a physically
savage Flair.
You know, yeah, their biggest guys were Shawn and Bret and Austin and Undertaker was Undertaker and Kane. You know, but the rest of the guys were just all basically the same size, you know?
And not only that, you had a super cool concept, which was right. the NWO. They yeah. don't have anything super
no,
cool.
No, nothing super cool. It's embarrassing. Like, it's like you would – here's the thing. Stuff that you want to try to promote is cool, you look at the people in the crowd, you're like, oh, I don't even think these people would like this stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff that, bro, let's be honest. Stuff that we like – and the wrestling fan today likes are two completely different things.
No.
But there still is a market for stuff that we like. You know what I'm saying? And they're not really giving us that much, you know? So
well, we're not that far off because
– Yeah.
Well, where do you go to either one of you guys if you could look it up right now real quick? Like your go-to – your one or two go-to sites for like wrestling reviews. Tell me what was the final review, if it's a grade or a number or even a comment from yesterday's show. I just want to see what people that you guys, you know, read said. You don't have to say the site if you don't want to, but.
I don't even know.
I got Jason Powell. I had Jason Powell's review open anyway because I was going to kind of look through it.
Oh, no,
we
go to rate Raw. Go to the next link. They rate the show. So you can, like, vote and rate. So go see what the response is for that.
Give me the response and then what Jason said.
And he writes a fucking detailed review.
Well, just read the end.
The recap.
Yeah.
Was this the series finale? It was fun to see the legends again, and Austin did a good job, and the crowd loved him. So while this was a fun reunion, I can't help but feel disappointed that WWE didn't do a big angle or anything to really hook returning viewers to keep them watching. It's another missed opportunity in that regard, so keep that in mind. If they do a big rating for the show and things go back to normal quickly, I will have more to say in my weekly Same Night Audio review of Raw coming up tonight exclusively for .net members.
That's kind of like what we said.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So what did the fans say in that poll or whatever?
I'm voting. I'm going on this vote thing. I voted disappointing show. They have right. A is great show, B is good show, C is average show, D is disappointing show, F is awful show. I'm voting. All right. And the results are, let's see the results. Disappointing, 66%. Disappointing was 30%. Good show, 25%. Average show, 19%. And a great show, 12%. Awful show, 14%. So basically kind of like...
I'd like to meet the 12% that thought that was a great show.
Yeah.
Well, I think we know who they are. 70,
they're probably like 10 years or less.
Obviously somebody that's a fan of Stone Cold and Austin.
Yeah.
Or they're 10 years old.
Right.
Let me ask you guys before we move on, though. What did you think of the Becky Lynch and Natalya stuff?
It's, you know, It's all right.
Yeah.
I was.
What
I
is
was
this? Why is this hashtagging today? Hashtag give WWE women a chance.
I guess they weren't on the show enough last night.
They weren't on the show enough.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah,
so wait a minute. So,
what's the hashtag?
The hashtag's
okay,
give
Twitter today.
Yeah, give WWE women a chance. So years
ago,
they've
been giving you a chance for the last 2 years. They've been putting you in spots that you don't even fucking deserve.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm all for women's rights, liberation. I do the same shit in AAA, but the women on my show, they have to earn their spot. They're not going to get it because there's some fucking women's movement going on.
Right.
Bottom line. All right.
They're under the same prism as every other person in the show.
And
if you go out there, perform, and get the people.
Right.
I will. You.
And I'm
going to
tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. The girls in WrestleMania, Ivan, Triple Mania this year may just steal the whole fucking show. That's how good they are. Nice. But anyways,
here's the funniest thing, though. Here's the funniest thing. This is where I love where you look at your audience and realize you're like you got the social justice mob is part of your audience. And like, okay. Bro, what was everybody saying last week? Okay. First of all, here's how the dichotomy went last week. The crowd at the show is chanting, "This is awful" at the women. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're booing them out of the building.
The Alexa Bliss match. Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting booed out of the building. All right. This week, they listened to the fans and they pulled back on the women because last week it was kind of had a lot of negativity towards the performers. So they didn't put quite as much on the show this week, right?
Yeah.
So now what are the social justice warriors doing?
Right.
There's not enough women on the show. Wait a second. You guys are complaining about how they performed last week. Now, we took them off, stuff. Now you're complaining they weren't on enough?
Was there a single women's
that's
match?
That's what's saying about these wrestling fans is trying to navigate. The thing you have to understand about them is they just make no freaking sense. There's not a lot of sense and a lot of logic to how they react. And it's not consistent. And it's all over the map. And it's like, you want to listen to the fans, but it's like fans, you guys are just all over the map now. It's like I don't know how do we listen to you if you're like you give us all these mixed signals.
And let me just say this: there are, as we all know, there are some good wrestlers there, whether it's Natalia or Becky or Charlotte or Bailey or even Sasha. But there's a lot of girls that are not ready and shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they should not be on the main roster. And so you can't get – and it's funny because finally we've seen for the first time ever WWE acquiescing and even in a way bending to the fans' whims, okay? And they're still now trying to bully them into, okay, we want more of this, more of this.
Right.
You know? And you can't listen to that vocal minority. You just can't.
No.
So what did you think about the woman's thing, Joe, the Natalia and Alexa Bliss and –
Well, I thought Natalia and Becky had a good back and forth, and the brawl looked good too. You know, it actually, I was like, all right, now I want to see this match because you think, oh, they're using Natalia again in the spot, but they kind of won me over in that segment. You know,
well, because she had an edge to her, and she, I think at the end she even being called her a bitch or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, but I've heard on
and
the,
I liked and I did kind of like the thing where she goes, well, you know, you've been against me. You were training the girl that I took this belt from.
Yeah,
you know that did have good. A little that did have some logic to it.
Yeah.
And I think Alexa Bliss is money on the mic.
Yeah. And the people react like it too. You know, when she comes out for the segment, she's just doing that moment of bliss. You know, people pop for it. So.
Okay, be truthful with us. Were you wearing any red and yellow when Hogan came out, including the pom poms or whatever he wears around his neck, the boa?
No, I wasn't.
All right, just want to make sure. Just a disappointing show, bro. It's sad to watch. You know, it's just sad to see like Nash and Hall. Two of the most charismatic, most over guys I've ever met. If you meet them in person, they're just as fucking, nothing, bro. They were just there doing nothing, just standing
very excited,
there,
right?
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, doing the Wolfpack, I was like very sad, you know?
Well, here's one thing before we move on.
And here's another thing that I was thinking. Was Flair very drunk? Were they running low on time or does he slur his words? Because if you notice, they didn't even give him the mic.
You know what I thought? That's interesting. When he got out of the limo, he had a damn, it looked like a cut on his head that like maybe they did and covered up because he was going to bleed later. Like I totally spotted it. I'm like, are they going to fucking go with blood? And then they just didn't do anything. I was like, okay, maybe that's not what I saw, but I did notice that. And the other thing was, I don't know if you guys knew this or read it yet, but the Seth Rollins thing that we were talking about, the awkward DX promo, that was actually supposed to be Ricochet. which would have worked probably a whole lot better because the crowd's behind him a little bit more.
Wait, so what
No, happened? It probably wouldn't have worked a whole lot better because Ricochet, who I love to death and one of the most talented guys I've ever seen, is not good on the mic.
But if all he had to do was, we got two words for you, I think the crowd would have...
Oh, if that's all he had to do, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And but he has some kind
he's
of issue with his...
He's a very charismatic guy, bro. Good-looking kid. That guy's money, too. They've kind of dropped the ball on him.
But he had an elbow issue or injury that they took him off the show due to that, so...
That doesn't stop him from talking, right?
Well, he would have had to have the match with AJ first because it was Rollins, AJ, and then the whole thing. So,
okay. Yeah. Bro, what did that do for the OC? Like, I don't understand, bro.
No. Bad.